Thank you, Blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, June 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A deputy sheriff in Zimbabwe has started attaching property of a ZANU-PF activist who was ordered by the country's courts to compensate a victim of the 2008 election violence.
There is a sense of justice, and people should learn from this that they should not hide behind political parties, because one day the long arm of the law will catch up with them.
A United States congressional panel is meeting here in Washington today to discuss the future of bilateral relations between the U.S. and Zimbabwe.
The U.S. Congress has no basis upon which to change its current policy on Zimbabwe and the issue of human rights in the country. If anything at all, there are grounds, there are bases to make the punishment stronger.
And former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma today announced the formation of his new political party, Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe.
We have suffered an identity crisis. We want to put this confusion to rest. Our party will be called Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, and we have adopted orange as the major color.
A deputy sheriff in Zimbabwe has started attaching property of a ZANU-PF activist who was ordered by the country's courts to compensate a victim of the 2008 election violence. Attorney Kenneth Shonai of the Human Rights NGO Forum, who represents Prime Jack of Harare Mbare High Density Suburb, says the deputy sheriff today went to Jim Kunaka's house in Mbare to look for attachable property to cover for a $30,000 lawsuit. He says Jack won the court case recently after filing a complaint that he was among people who were victims of political violence in the 2008 general election, which pitted Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC and President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF in hotly contested polls.
There is a sense of justice. No matter how few or how little the property that has been attached, but there is a sense of justice, and people should learn from this that they should not hide behind political parties, because one day the long arm of the law will catch up with them. And as an organization, it's a victory to us, because this is what we want to see, that justice is being done. And I hope our client will be happy as well, because at least there is a sense of justice being done. This is a 2008 case of political violence, and as an organization, we've been fighting for justice, especially for those people who have been tortured, victimized, assaulted in 2008, and now we are getting justice, although it might seem a bit late, but nevertheless, I think as a forum, it's a victory to us, because this is what we have been fighting for.
That was Attorney Kenneth Shonai of the Human Rights NGO Forum speaking with Studio 7. About 200 MDC supporters were killed in the 2008 general elections. Kunaka was allegedly a member of a hit squad known as Chipangano, which is said to have caused a reign of terror in Mbare in the run-up to the 2008 polls and after the elections.
A United States congressional panel is meeting here in Washington today to discuss the future of bilateral relations between the U.S. and Zimbabwe. The hearing by the Subcommittee on Africa, Global Health, Global Human Rights and International Organizations comes 3 weeks after a high-level U.S. delegation visited Harare. Speakers will include Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Shannon Smith, Executive Director Ben Frith of the Mike Campbell Foundation, and Regional Program Director for Africa, Imani, Countess of the Solidarity Center. Washington has previously insisted U.S. relations with Harare can only be restored if Zimbabwe can start respecting human rights. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached political analyst Dr. Nkululeko Sibanda and asked him what's likely to come out of today's hearings.
I think it is certainly very clear that the U.S. Congress has no basis upon which to change its current policy on Zimbabwe and the issue of human rights in the country. If anything at all, there are grounds, there are bases to sort of make the punishment stronger and or to ensure that they are followed to the latter. And I think that the only reason why they are not going to strengthen sanctions and are going to leave them at the position they are in, and I'm clear that I think that the right position would have been to strengthen their controls over Zimbabwe as much, because the situation may have worsened. But I think that things that are happening elsewhere, the relations that are improving between Zimbabwe and Britain and so forth, are being taken into context in order to help America maintain a certainly lukewarm position as it is now.
How would you characterize the human rights situation in Zimbabwe presently?
Well, the human rights situation in Zimbabwe has deteriorated greatly. If you are talking about it in terms of how the Zimbabwean government seems to be willing or dedicated to the rule of law, the recent constitution has not been implemented in full, and implementations are hogwash. It does seem as though ZANU-PF and its government members are, in effect, above the law. You have the recent arrests of Themba Mliswa, you have the disappearance of Itai, and you have various abuses of people who are trying to demonstrate and express their opinion and views on the government. And all these things indicate that the situation has deteriorated with diminishing attention from, least of all, the European Union and other world powers.
That was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda on the line from England.
Former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma today announced the formation of his new political party, Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, a splinter group of the MDC Renewal Team Party formed a few months ago. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Mangoma told journalists in Harare after a meeting of the MDC Renewal Team National Council that the council had unanimously endorsed him to lead the rebranded party that has assumed the name Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, or RDZ.
For a long time, following the Mandela Declaration, we have been dithering and ambivalent in constituting our party properly. As a result, we have suffered an identity crisis. Thus, we want to put this confusion to rest by constituting ourselves into a clear and unambiguous leadership and party identity. In that regard, our party will be called Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, and we have adopted orange as the major color.
He said his new political formation was determined to fight for democracy in Zimbabwe and ensure that the ruling ZANU-PF party is defeated in general elections expected in 2018.
In spite of all the repressive mechanisms laid before us by an illegitimate and authoritarian regime of Robert Mugabe, we will pursue the struggle for change using non-violent, peaceful, but fearless and bold methods.
Mangoma said he saw it fit to dissociate himself from former Finance Minister Tendai Biti and his colleagues in the MDC Renewal Team because Biti and others were allegedly courting a ZANU-PF faction linked to former Vice President Joyce Mujuru that is calling itself People First.
Even people in management, it was never fully discussed there. So discussions will then take place, and you actually don't know what is the aim of those discussions.
MDC Renewal Team spokesperson Jacob Mafume dismissed Mangoma's move, saying the former energy minister is power hungry.
I think that shows a person who clearly does not want to be accountable to the nation. There are allegations of adultery and allegations of causing divisions everywhere he is. But he then defies all logic and purports to be forming a political party.
Mafume added that there was nothing wrong in working with People First if the two political formations have common interests. Former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, who speaks on behalf of People First, was not available for comment as his mobile phone was unreachable. Political science lecturer Blessing Chitaka of the University of Zimbabwe said the continuing fragmentation of the opposition increases the ruling ZANU-PF party's chances of winning in the next general elections.
It's an unfortunate development, I would say, but I wouldn't say it totally brings a dark chapter in the part of the opposition, because their support, the MDC renewal team, has been dwindling.
Mangoma announced an interim executive committee of his new party that comprises of Fidelis Mugari, Trust Chikohora, Pishai Mchauraya, Promise Mkwananzi, and several others. The inaugural congress of the new political party would be held within the next 150 days, according to Mangoma. The MDC renewal team comprises former members of Morgan Tsvangirai's MDCT, who left the party after complaining that the former trade unionist was, among other reasons, failing to properly run the party. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Ousted ZANU-PF senior official and former Hurungwe West lawmaker Themba Mliswa has filed a complaint in the electoral court seeking the postponement of the June 10 parliamentary by-election, saying there's too much violence in the constituency being allegedly perpetrated by the ruling party candidate Keith Guza and several others. Case respondents Guza, local government minister Ignatius Chombo, and several traditional leaders were not reachable for comment. They are accused of allegedly using a militia to beat up his supporters ahead of the poll. Mliswa's attorney, Musindo Hungwe, speaks to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about this case and his release following his arrest over allegations of destroying ZANU-PF posters.
Mr. Mliswa was released without charge, on the understanding that the police should further manage the docket, and if they do get more or better evidence, they can always present them to the prosecutor general, who can then proceed by way of summons. So as we speak on that particular matter, Mr. Mliswa is a free man.
We also understand that Mr. Mliswa has approached the electoral court. What is the latest on this?
Yes, indeed, it is a fact. Mr. Mliswa has approached the electoral court seeking principally to have the election, the forthcoming by-election set for the 10th of June, postponed or in the meantime suspended. The basis of the application being that the conditions attendant on the ground in the constituency are so inimical to the holding of a free and fair election. There is a lot of intimidation, there are a lot of machinations which are inclined towards rigging that are afoot. The security sector is fully deployed in the constituency. Voters are being advised or being told that they have to vote in a particular manner at a particular time under the watchful eye of traditional leaders.
That was Attorney Musindo Hungwe speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Mliswa, who was ejected from the ruling party for backing former Vice President Joyce Mujuru to allegedly unseat President Robert Mugabe, is contesting the election as an independent candidate.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a Zimbabwean living in Turkey writes mouth-watering poems.
And a closer look at the resignation of FIFA chief Sepp Blatter.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. news outlets say FIFA President Sepp Blatter is under investigation in the United States in connection with the corruption scandal involving football scavenging body.
Chinese rescuers continued searching for the more than 400 people missing after a passenger ship overturned during stormy conditions in the Yangtze River. State media say only 14 people have been rescued since the cruise ship carrying mostly elderly tourists capsized late Monday.
The military operation against Islamic State has killed more than 10,000 militant fighters, a top U.S. diplomat said Wednesday. As 22 coalition strikes in Iraq and Syria targeted the group overnight.
And a human rights group says more than 8,000 Nigerians have died as a result of the government's campaign to stamp out insurgent group Boko Haram. Amnesty International says its researchers found more than 1,200 people have been executed since 2009 during raids by the Nigerian military.
In our diaspora slot tonight, we speak to a Zimbabwean working in Istanbul, Turkey, Toliwe Ndebele Dube, who has written a book with 52 poems. Ndebele Dube says she finds a lot of comfort and creativity in writing poems and academic material used at universities. The school teacher, who lived in Bulawayo and then went to Botswana to work in the same profession before leaving for Turkey, says she writes her work even at times when traveling in a bus or watching people doing various chores. She speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about her literature and what drives her to use the pen in order to convey certain issues relating to life.
So I think you are actually doing a good job there. So do you hope to one day become an international writer?
I hope to be accepted as a poet. I do write short stories as well, but I find poems come easily if I'm feeling something at that moment. The words just flow. Mm. At times, I don't even know what the subject matter is. I just find out at the end of the poem.
Unfortunately, time has actually run out. So what is your message to Zimbabweans?
I would like Zimbabweans to give it their best shot. If you've got a skill that you think you want to develop, especially in writing, there's no harm in just getting a piece of paper and just jotting down whatever thoughts come to mind.
And thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. And say it in your language, in the language there.
Okay. In the language here?
Yes. How do you say thank you?
Teşekkürler.
Teşekkürler as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Toliwe Ndebele Dube, a Zimbabwean living in Turkey, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Istanbul.
The European Union has unveiling $13 million for the revitalization of Zimbabwe's health sector. Health Minister David Parire Nyatwa, who witnessed the ceremony today, says the funding is welcome in a nation ravaged by lack of funds to buy drugs, rehabilitate hospitals, and related issues.
But I was so pleased that when we mentioned that the Health Transition Fund should now be transformed into Health Development Fund, and the ambassador just picked it up like that. And he's already said, no, yes, we've left the transition part from 2016, it will be Health Development Fund. I want to congratulate you for endorsing that. It's going to be Health Development Fund from 2016. Again, it must be in tandem with our own 2016 to 2020 health strategic plan.
Don't miss this tomorrow here on Studio 7.
Zimbabwe expects to produce a paltry 102,000 tons of wheat this year against an annual demand of 450,000 tons. Farmers' unions say the 300,000-ton deficit will have to be covered through imports. The unions say wheat production is being affected by many problems such as lack of funding, power constraints, cheap imports, and high input costs.
And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. ISIL makes life hell for women and girls throughout Iraq, said U.S. Ambassador at Large for Global Women's Issues, Catherine Russell. The situation for minorities is especially grim. Thousands of Yazidi girls and women were abducted by ISIL last summer. Throughout their captivity, many of these girls, some as young as 7 or 8, were repeatedly raped and forced to marry ISIL fighters. Several said they had attempted suicide during their captivity or witnessed suicide attempts to avoid rape, forced marriage, or forced religious conversion. Some have been sold as slaves and transported to various locations in Iraq, Syria, and beyond. ISIL has publicly acknowledged enslaving women and children, claiming in its online English-language magazine that it was reviving a custom justified under its interpretation of Sharia law. The hundreds of women and girls who have returned from ISIL captivity continue to suffer, said Ambassador Russell, following a recent visit to Iraq. Iraqis she met with characterized some of the returned women and girls as emotionally broken, some still wearing the same clothes they had on during captivity. The Yazidi women and girls who escaped ISIL still face enormous challenges and trauma from their experience. The medical and psychosocial services available to meet the growing need of the displaced community are limited. The United States has taken action to help, providing both humanitarian aid and other assistance spanning several sectors. The United States is also committed to continuing its work with the government of Iraq, non-governmental organization partners, and the UN to address the needs of those who are affected by ISIL's aggression in Iraq. But the needs are huge, and the international community needs to do more to protect and better serve women and girls affected by the conflict, said Ambassador Russell. The ultimate answer is to defeat and destroy ISIL and support the women and men of Iraq in rebuilding their country. The United States and Iraq remain committed to that goal by continuing U.S. and coalition airstrikes and enhancing Iraqi defense capabilities through training and equipment.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Some local soccer fans say the stepping down of FIFA president Sepp Blatter will negatively affect Africa, including Zimbabwe, as many associations were receiving grants for the development of the sport under his leadership. Blatter announced his decision to step down after being voted in for another 5-year term last week, but was put under pressure by corruption allegations facing his association. Blatter told reporters yesterday he would stay in office until another FIFA election is held. Soccer fan Fabian Mahembe tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye the FIFA leadership should take a cue from Blatter and resign, as they are bringing the sport into disrepute by their alleged mismanagement.
By Mr. Blatter that he will be stepping down from his powerful post as the FIFA president. You see, to us, it's a cause for concern, because if we look at the way he has been dealing with the African nations, especially our mother body, the CAF, the guys who voted him into power the last election, are many African countries. So this is going definitely to impact on our continent, because we don't know who is going to replace him. And most likely, probably, the replacement will come from these European countries. All they are will be biased against us, because they know we're using a very good relationship with Blatter. So I'm seeing a future which is a little bit bleak as far as funding from FIFA grants is concerned.
But what impact would you say the appointment of Blatter had on Zimbabwe in particular, especially in the development of football?
We have seen the GO project with the construction of the FIFA headquarters Mount Abdel, and recently we were hearing that they were planning to give FIFA some funds to build their own headquarters. Whether this is going to happen now, that this guy, we don't know. So in a way, it's going to impact in a not positive way the resignation of Mr. Blatter.
That was soccer fan Fabian Mahembe speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye from Harare.
Still in soccer, Highlanders Football Club says his transport problems will soon be put to rest as the much-anticipated luxury coach, purchased with the help of the team's long-time benefactor, retired Colonel Chinga Dube, who is also a ZANU-PF candidate for the Makokova constituency, is on his way from Johannesburg, South Africa, to Bulawayo and head past Polokwane by this evening. Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is expected to hand over the bus to the team at Barberfield Stadium in Bulawayo on Saturday after a roadshow from the city centre. The day coincides with Dube's campaign rally at the White City Stadium. Highlanders Chief Executive Officer Ndumiso Gumede dismisses concern that this development could be a campaign gimmick by ZANU-PF and says that his team will be relieved from hiring expensive buses for trips outside the city.
We expect the Vice President of this country, Honorable E.D. Mnangagwa, to officially hand over the keys to the chairman of the club, Mr. Peter Dube, on Saturday. Let me hasten to say that there's a coincidence here that the bus is coming this week and next week the elections. And there are some people who are reading things very wrongly. This bus has always been talk at our AGM. Now it is coming. Now people want to raise dust. It's got nothing to do with politics. It's our bus which we are receiving courtesy of retired Colonel Chinga Dube, and the official presentation will be done by President Mnangagwa.
Is everyone in your team happy about the bus? Are there no concerns that it could be a campaign gimmick?
You can't please everybody. When we failed to get the duty-free, I personally made a plea that our people can easily raise this money. There's not one person who gave me a dollar. And now someone asks us to get the bus in. Now you want to ask, how did it come in? It's not fair. Than our REM shuttle bus, which we use locally here. We're not going to be making a saving. It's now going to cost me $400 to go to Harare. It's been costing me $2,000 to hire to go to Harare.
That was Highlanders Chief Executive Officer Ndumiso Gumede on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
And in our mailbag tonight, we received these messages from our listeners.
My name is Alex. I'm in Johannesburg. I want to say hi to my children, my wife in Zim, and my family. I want to thank you all for your support. And I want to pray that God will bless our country. I want to thank the people of Zimbabwe for being resilient. May you keep the spirit high. One day God shall remember us and our country shall be free. Thank you, Studio 7. You do a very good job. Bye-bye.
My name is Advaz Mutope. I live in Chibuwe area. I need help right now because there's no other things to do. People selling some vegetables in the town city, but there's no thing, but there's no money right now. People, they're suffering from hunger. Right now, there's nothing to do. Thank you for listening.
Raphael says, thank you, Studio 7, for always telling us the truth about Zimbabwe. We are going to spoil the ballot papers in the forthcoming parliamentary by-elections as per our MDCT president's demands.
And this one, without a name, says, I'm a student at Harare Poly, and I just wanted to say that students at the college are being denied a chance to register for the November HECSCO exams before full payment of second term fees. A number of students have no money, and exam fee is $72, and school fees is $210.
And another listener says, my name is Noah Gertneza. I want to greet my mom and dad. They are in BH3 in Jambezi. I also want to greet my friends and relatives, not forgetting my icons, Tristan and Quillen. You are my pillar of strength. I love you all.
Remember to send us your audio messages at this WhatsApp number, 1202-465-0318. That number again, 1202-465-0318. You can send audio or text.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with experts and listeners about a congressional hearing in the U.S. Capitol Hill on relations between the two nations.
That brings us to the end of the show, but before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories.
A deputy sheriff has started attaching property of a ZANU-PF activist who was ordered by the country's courts to compensate a victim of the 2008 election violence.
A United States congressional panel is meeting here in Washington to discuss the future of bilateral relations between the U.S. and Zimbabwe.
And former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma today announced the formation of his new political party, Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe.
That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.